Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. John's words from his first letter beginning chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Love and obedience go hand in hand. A husband is traveling away from home. He decides to go out to eat. He doesn't know the city. He doesn't know which part of town is reputable or not. He chooses a restaurant. A Chinese restaurant sounds good. But when he arrives, next door is another establishment, a gentleman's club, with seductive advertising letting him know what's just behind the darkened windows. The commandment to lead a chaste and pure life is before him. What does he do? Love for his wife and for God goes hand in hand with obedience, as the sweet and sour chicken tasted pretty good in that Chinese restaurant that night. Or a young mother knows that the checkbook is almost empty. She walks out of Shop and Save with barely enough groceries for the week. Her two children are old enough to see the worry and stress in her face. The man in front of her in the parking lot pulls out his keys, and when he does, a money clip falls to the pavement. She picks it up. And she sees that the bills and this money clip would solve a lot of problems. Her children are watching her. And the commandment about honesty and protecting her neighbor's property is now staring her straight in the face. Love for her children and for God and obedience to the commandment leads her to call out to the man as he's getting into the car. You see, love and obedience really do go hand in hand. Normally, I admit that that's not the word I would think of when I hear the word love. But John does. Love obeys. It's as simple as that, John says. Usually, we think of love as some deep emotion, some wonderful feeling. But for John, true love obeys. True love does what is right. True love keeps the commandments. And we know this because we love. Why? Because he first loved us. And that divine love was an obedient love. The Father placed an assignment before Jesus. Go, become human, live among these sinful people, save them. And despite the humiliation, Jesus goes. He keeps his Father's will. Philippians 2. And being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. A couple weeks ago, I was going through my office closet and found this poster. It's a cross standing tall, silhouetted against a sunset on the horizon. The words underneath say, "It was not the nails that held Christ to the cross, but his love for you and me. His obedient love for you and me." The Father sent him to the cross, and Jesus obeyed. Oh, he could have called down angels. He could have come down from the cross. But love and obedience go together for Jesus. And so the nails go into his hands, as love and obedience go hand in hand for him. And more. That Philippians 2 passage goes on to say, "And God exalted him to the highest place." God's love for us would not leave Jesus in the grave. God's love for us would give birth to a son, the Christ, who overcomes the world. God's love for us sends this resurrected Jesus so that we are the children of God, not because of human decision, or natural descent, or a husband's will, but because we are born of God. Obedient love. We love because he first loved us, and we do love. John says that we who have been so loved by the Father now love the children of God. We love each other. We love one another in this family of God called the church. Except that love and obedience just don't always go together. On Monday, I was working with my Homiletics 1 class with this sermon. It was an eye-opening experience because even though John uses such positive and encouraging words about love, we quickly made a list of all the times we could think of where love and obedience just got torn apart, where it didn't happen. Take the 8th commandment. We are to speak well of one another, build each other up, protect each other's reputation. Well, just a few weeks ago, family night was canceled. I don't know all the reasons behind it, but animosity between married students and single students suddenly created hurtful, angry words. One of the students in my homiletics class works in the cafeteria, and he said those hurtful words spilled over into the cafeteria workers. Build each other up. Encourage one another? Hardly. You see, love and disobedience just don't walk together. Or a class has a heated discussion. Oh, perhaps it's about women lectors, worship style, communion practice. Class is over, but the discussion keeps going on. The verbal attacks go on for days. I heard that Oswald Hoffman, the former Lutheran Hour speaker, said that we used to be able to disagree and then go out for a beer. Not anymore. Now we go online and rip each other apart. Blogs and chat rooms destroy people's reputations. Letters are written that should never be written and sent. Encouraging words, words that build each other up, best construction? Hardly. You see, love and disobedience just can't be hand in hand. Oh, that homiletics class made a much longer list, and I could go around here, and each one of you could come up with a story of how love and obedience were just ripped apart in this family of God called the church. And yet John says, we are the children of God. We are born of God, that he has loved us. In fact, just a few verses earlier, John writes, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And it happens. Love and obedience do walk together in this family called the church. Last Friday, it was a Profenstein. But it seemed that more of the students and professors were having a beer than playing the scheduled softball game for that day. Disagreements were put aside. Conversations, words were spoken about first calls and vicarage assignments. Laughter and building each other up. That's what was heard. You see, love and obedience really do go together quite well. Or have you stopped to think about the cafeteria workers, the maintenance workers, the secretaries, the janitors, the snack bar cooks? Many of them work here because they want to work amongst the family of God. I imagine that a kind greeting by name, an attitude of respect, a carefully worded prayer will go a long ways in their lives. Because you see, love and obedience really do go together quite well. Now, these are just a couple everyday examples here on campus. But our featured speaker for today, Dr. Fred Craddock, tells of a time when there was much more impact of love and obedience walking together. A number of his stories from the sermons he has preached over his many years have been gathered together in a book called Craddock Stories. He tells of a time when the church, a congregation, was obedient to Christ's command to care for his mother and his family with such tremendous love that it had a powerful impact on his father as well. Here's how Dr. Craddock tells the story in this book. My mother took us to church in Sunday school. My father didn't go. He complained about Sunday dinner being late when my mother came home. The preacher would sometimes come over, and my father would say the same thing. He would say, I know what the church wants. The church doesn't care about me. The church just wants another name, another pledge, another name. Isn't that the name of it, right? Another name, another pledge. That's what he always said. Sometimes we'd have a revival. The pastor would bring the evangelist over and say to the evangelist, there's one, sick him, get him, get him. My father would say the same thing. My mother would be in the kitchen, worried, in fear of tempers flaring, of someone getting hurt. And my father would say, the church doesn't care about me. The church just wants another name, another pledge. He must have said it 1,000 times. But one time he didn't say it. He was in the veterans hospital and down to 73 pounds. The doctors had taken out his throat and said it's too late. They put in a metal pipe and the x-rays burned him to pieces. I flew in to visit him. He couldn't eat and couldn't speak. I looked around the room. And cut flowers and potted plants were on every windowsill. Stack of cards, 20 inches deep. And even on the tray where they put the food, if you can eat, was a flower. And all the potted plants, every flower, every card was from persons and groups from the church. He saw me read a card. He couldn't speak, so he picked up a Kleenex box and wrote a line from Shakespeare on the side of it. Now, I would not tell you this story, he says, if he had not written this line. He wrote, "In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story." And Dr. Craddock asked, "What's your story, Daddy?" And he wrote, "I was wrong." You see, love and obedience go so well together in this family called the church. We love because he first loved us, John says. And it's just that simple. We love the children of God, each other, because he first loved us. Amen.